97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad you're with us. And Kim St. Ange, I have to ask you a question. As I came into the studio and you were reading the news headlines there, could they have come up with a longer title for the U.S. men's soccer team extravaganza that's happening here in November?
I should have just said an extravaganza is planned.
You should
have. Because I said that every hour and twice even at the bottom of the hour. And I'm like, all right, Kim, you can do this. You can get through this.
I mean, I've got to give a shout out to these soccer players because they're going to be playing soccer in some football weather if they're here on November 18th. There's a good chance it could be cold. But they're going to be here for the CONCACAF.
Say it, Mark.
Course
what do you think it is?
I don't even know
no,
what it
I
is.
No, I want to hear it.
I don't know. I just heard you say it twice this morning, but it was a mouthful.
Ready?
Yes.
I'm going to say it fast. The U.S. Men's National Team's 2024-2025 CONCACAF Nations League quarterfinal home leg.
CONCACAF?
Yep, CONCACAF Nations okay. League quarterfinal home leg. You guys got all that?
Never heard of it.
Say it five times in a row.
Good luck to them. Glad they're going to be using the stadium for something on November 18th. That's a good thing. That's just part of what's going on in the news. We're glad you're with us here this morning. We've still got lots to get to. We're going to get to Evan Brown coming up with more details. They finally released some details yesterday on the shooter, the attempted shooter down in the golf course in Florida, right? The guy they caught with the AK-47 who was going to target President Trump. Apparently, he's offering a bounty on the president's head because he knew if the note got out, that would have meant that he failed. So from what we can tell, he doesn't have a pot to pee in, but he's offering $150,000 to somebody else. Where'd that money come from? I hope they're looking into that. I found it was very odd they released that and not some of the other stuff they got going on out there. But so did our friend Jesse Waters. In fact, we'll get to some of that, I believe, Carl, coming up right now in our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
So the Biden administration just released the Assassin's Manifesto. They put a $150,000 bounty on Trump's head.
Yeah, how about that? It does seem a little weird. We didn't hear about what happened in Nashville with the trans shooter at the school until some whistleblower finally released the manifesto, and they've turned this one loose in a week.
A lot of their manufacturing business to Mexico. I'm just notifying John Deere right now. If you do that, we're putting a 200% tariff on everything that you want to sell into the United States.
Wow. Your big nothing runs like a deer is going to run from Mexico if Donald Trump gets elected. If you're a blue-collar worker, you need to listen to what this man is telling you. He's trying to protect your jobs.
I just want you to know, okay, how I stand and how I stand today is that I do not support Harris for president.
And Blair Allison does not want to be burdened by what has been. She's the TikToker. They used part of her comments on that Oprah town hall last week, and she's a little put out about it, for sure.
Well, if this hasn't happened in 40 years since Walter Mondale turned down the invitation, and remember, he lost 49 out of 50 states. I don't want to say there's a direct connection there. But so we're not used to this.
I love that. I love that guy. That is Cardinal Timothy Dolan up in New York. With tongue-in-cheek slamming Kamala Harris because she not only dodges every interview, she's dodging a roast. I don't know if you remember this last year or not, but Trump and Biden both showed up for this, last election.
Yeah, the Al Smith
2020,
dinner.
That Al Smith dinner.
Yep.
It's for Catholic Charities. They do it every election cycle. It's tradition that both candidates show up.
But they didn't roast each other back in 20. That's what they traditionally do, right? But they didn't back then.
Well,
for whatever reason.
But the point is, the last time one of the two candidates declined the offer was Walter Mondale.
Yeah.
You know, and he lost every state but Minnesota. Tim Walz's home state is the only nut jobs that voted for Walter Mondale. And Cardinal Dolan, you got to love the guy from St. Louis, and he's in New York now, obviously. And they're asking him about this, and he's still holding out hope, apparently, that she's going to show up. I fail to see why it's important that she be there, but it's an October 17th event, and Trump's going to be there, but Harris is opting out. I don't know if she's afraid somebody there might ask her a question that close to the election.
Yeah, she doesn't have a teleprompter, and there's probably a lot of stuff they could poke fun at her about.
I mean, we know Diddy won't be in New York, so she won't be going to visit him.
Ooh.
Well, he is in New York. He's just in jail.
Well, I was going to say, he's not on the streets. Yeah.
So we know that. I wanted you to hear the full comments by Cardinal. I almost called him Archbishop. By Cardinal Dolan here. Listen.
We're disappointed. We were looking forward to giving the vice president an enthusiastic welcome. And we were confident that she would find this. You know, she speaks very much about the high ideals and how it's good to get away from division and come together in unity and all. Well, that's what the L. Smith dinner is all about. We haven't given up yet. We're not used to this. We don't know how to handle it. This hasn't happened in 40 years since Walter Mondale turned down the invitation. And remember, he lost 49 out of 50 states. So I don't want to say there's a direct connection there. But so we're not used to this, and we're not giving up. You know who's been a help to us, Lauren, is Senator Schumer and Governor Hochul. They both are working hard to see that they convince her to come.
No, don't hold your breath. She's not going to show. She doesn't have a teleprompter. She doesn't have her note cards. She probably can't write the answers on her hand.
Yeah, but,
therefore, she won't be there.
But they do sort of roasty people when they're there, like the candidates. I mean, they do. It's not quite like the correspondence dinner, but it is a little bit of a roast.
Yeah,
you know that's what she's afraid of. They don't
100%.
They don't. She's afraid she'll be embarrassed by something.
Right.
Maybe they'll bring.
But
I thought Montel Williams or Willie Brown or something like that.
I know they're roasted, but I thought that the tradition was also that the candidates themselves could say something.
I think sometimes they do.
So
they
that did. Would be my thought too. Is that she'd be way too scared to say something.
But yet she wants to go back and debate Donald Trump again, which he's said he's having none of that.
You know what I would say if I were Donald Trump?
I think they're a little panicked.
I think Kamala felt like she won the debate and therefore she wants to debate again.
Yeah.
If I were Trump, you know, he's made it clear he's not going to. But I'd be like, all right, Kamala, then we're going to debate on Fox News, and the moderators are going to be, you know, whoever. Name random people. That you wanted, because she would run scared. I don't think that she would do that. She only wants a debate because it was CNN that was extending the invitation, and that's the safe territory for her.
Spot on. Hey, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about election issues. The voter guide's coming out this week. Somebody emailed me about Amendment 2, which is the sports betting issue. And they ask a couple of very pertinent questions about whether or not the money's really going to go to schools. I'll give you my take on that after reading it, coming up here at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
Ruth's letter purportedly says that he failed to assassinate Donald Trump and that he was offering $150,000 to anyone who could finish the job.
Wow, that was Jesse Waters on Fox last night talking about the information as we learn more about this Routh guy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right or not. I've heard it pronounced many different ways. Let's find out how Eben Brown from Fox News Radio is pronouncing his name. Eben, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, we're saying Ruth.
Ruth.
That's our story. I'm sticking to it for now until we change it again. But that's okay. More importantly, whether it's Routh or Ruth, there's a lot of evidence that the FBI has already compiled together here. And they shared it publicly before even going into the courtroom, which is a very, very out of character thing for the FBI and the U.S. attorney. So that was interesting in and of itself. But the thing that I think has sort of gotten the most attention has been this note that is apparently written by Ruth himself and was left with a bunch of possessions with another party, a witness who's come forward saying, look, this guy handed me a bunch of stuff some time ago. And in that note it's addressed to, like, Dear World, which is, you know, I guess to everyone, all of us. And in the note, I won't get into the exact text of it, but he says that he tried but didn't succeed in assassinating Donald Trump, but he has a large cash reward for someone who can complete the job, which is disturbing. In addition to that, there were 6 cell phones recovered from this person who apparently one of them he used to find directions, driving directions from West Palm Beach to Mexico, which is a long drive because yes. It's up the entire length of Florida around the Gulf Coast and over to Mexico. And then there was a phone call between him and someone else that he made from jail. So within the past week in which he admitted to what they accuse him of. So all of this was kind of given to the public before they even went into court, which is a bit strange, but I guess okay. And they went to the judge and said, look, we don't want him to have any kind of bail here because this is what he's capable of doing. And the judge agreed. They said no bond. And also the U.S. attorney said that they will seek an indictment on a charge of attempted assassination under federal statute, which would come with a life in prison type of sentence.
Well, a lot of it seems very coincidental. And from what we've learned immediately about him, he was from not much means. I mean, he lived in Hawaii at some point, claimed he had 2 cars that were both worth less than $1,000. It kind of stretches credibility to think he had 150 grand laying around to pay somebody.
It doesn't seem very doable, but who knows what access he had to whatever. We know he was sort of mooching off a girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend for a while, and he had a driver's license from Hawaii, but I guess he had been back in his native North Carolina for a bit. Anyhow, the point being is that this guy's not getting out of jail. He could very likely be tried on a federal crime of attempted assassination, in addition to being held on the 2 weapons charges that he's being held on now. And they seem to have enough evidence to at least go forward from there, and that they're sharing that publicly, which is something that they don't often do, the federal prosecutors. Now, that may have something to do with the state of Florida conducting its own investigation, seeking probably an attempted murder indictment, and the remarks from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that the FBI may not be trustworthy in this scenario, considering the FBI and the U.S. attorney have been seeking to imprison Donald Trump for a number of years now.
Let's hope those questions are being asked here at some point, I just have to say.
Yeah.
Particularly since they didn't release the manifesto from the Nashville shooter, and that had to be released through a
whistleblower. That seems to be the big question. That has not been released yet, but this whole thing here got released very, very quickly.
Very strange. Evan Brown, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate the explanation.
You bet.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. It's Fox News Radio, and I just wanted him to kind of go through some of the details of this. Very strange. But apparently, there is a federal statute that makes it a crime of life in prison if you attempt to kill a major party presidential candidate.
I didn't know that.
And Florida wants to get him for attempted murder, which I don't know if they got the death penalty in Florida still or not. Remember when they used to have old Sparky down there? It was their electric chair that sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, and they did it to intimidate. I don't know if they still use that or not. I'll have to find out. Guy might be a candidate, I'm telling you. Hey, coming up, we'll talk more about the election issues that I'll have my list out soon.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
Yes, indeed, Sarah. I would agree with that completely. They're all corrupt. Here's the deal. The election is coming up in November, and you can start early voting absentee with an excuse today in the state of Missouri. So we talked to Rick Stream earlier about that from St. Louis County. If you have any questions, go back and listen to that interview. We talked to him about 6:20 this morning. You can listen on demand, or if you have the Odyssey app, you can hit the rewind button and listen to what he had to say. Just to explain that you can show up in person if you've got the proper excuse. Show up with your ID and they will let you vote today at the Board of Elections, or you can request an absentee ballot and then you can vote without an excuse starting October 22nd in Missouri. So I think Illinois starts early voting later this week, in fact. But back to the issues in Missouri. This is important. So one of the issues is, and I'm going to have my voter guide out soon, one of the issues, Kim, is Amendment 2.
Yep.
Amendment 2 is gambling.
Yep, sports
online betting.
Sports betting.
Sports betting. whatever you want to refer to it as. And I got this email just this morning, and I wanted to read this from Ed. I listened yesterday on the gambling bill, and while I am mostly for it, since the profits will all go to the schools, why are my property taxes that support schools not being reduced by the same percentage the gambling will bring? A couple of points here. They're very specific in this bill that this does not affect regular funding for schools. This is over and above. So there shouldn't be any fungibility here. But there's a bigger question you need to consider if that's the reason you're supporting this bill. There is no guarantee that the schools will get anything. And that's what I'm going to point out in the voter guide. I've read through it. And here's what you need to understand. Even the text language that the Secretary of State's office has on the website alludes to this, right? And it's important that you understand this. The language is such that, here's what it says. Let me read it to you real quick. Because the proposal allows for deductions against sports gaming revenues, they estimate unknown tax revenue ranging from $0 to as much as $28 million annually.
That's quite the range.
Now, why would you do that? Unless you knew there was a very real possibility it could be zero and you didn't want anybody to be pissed off at you afterwards.
Which is funny because when you see the advertisements, whether it be a commercial you're watching on your TV or anything you're finding on social media, because I've seen quite a few on there, the big text, of course, is, you know, helping schools. You want to help teachers and salary, all these things. And then if at all, it might say in very fine print, oh, by the way, Amendment 2 is sports betting. Like, you don't even know what you're voting for. All they're saying is, if you care about teachers and kids, you should probably say yes on Amendment 2. Now, I don't have a problem with sports betting. I'm not into that. That's not something I'm going to do. This doesn't really affect me in that way. But I don't personally have an issue with sports betting. I know people, I know you guys know people who drive over across the river, go place their bet, and then drive right back over to Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, so. No, I absolutely do. So on its face, I don't have a real problem with online sports betting. But this is one of the most deceptive ad campaigns I've ever seen. When you look at the TV commercial, it's the pretty blonde mother sitting on her couch telling you she supports this amendment because it's going to support, it's more money for teachers. It's more money for schools. But there's no guarantee in here that a dime will ever go to your schools. At least not initially, because they have to take $5 million right off the top of whatever they make, and it goes directly to the compulsive gaming fund, okay? They can write off reasonable expenses incurred by the commission to regulate sports. So that money gets written off. This is all subtracted from any profit they might be making. The annual revenues received from the tax shall be appropriated for institutions of higher learning, except for the following exceptions. So the 10% tax for the compulsive gaming, to reimburse reasonable expenses to the sports commission. They'll get to subtract any losses that they suffer, right? So in other words, if somebody owes money to the sports betting company but doesn't pay them, they get to subtract that from their overall revenue. So they could technically make a lot of money but reduce what they claim they made down to such a – but if it's below $5 million, the schools won't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you understand that. In my opinion, this was written by the casinos to benefit the casinos.
Right. It sounds good so that you want to vote in favor of it.
And you know, listen, folks, I did the research. I've got the thing right here. I read through it. You can read through it yourself because I wanted to know, okay, if it's guaranteed that all of the money is going to go to the schools no matter what, that's great. It says that in here. Except that a lot of other people get paid before any money goes to the schools, and if they get to deduct all that from their profits. So if they determine that the profits were less than $5 million, because $5 million goes to the compulsive gaming fund,
whatever that is,
there will be zero money left over for the schools. I would imagine it will make more than $5 million, but there's no guarantee once they write off their losses.
Well, and I'm sure schools, I would imagine they're frustrated about how misleading this is, because certainly they have to know they're not going to get as much as they're making it out to seem. They're not going to say anything, because even if they get a tiny bit, it would still be beneficial for them. Well, so they're not going to come out and say, this is misleading.
Let's say it's $5 million. Spread out over how many school districts in the state of Missouri?
Yeah, a lot.
So it would have to be a significant amount of money that they're making in profit above their expenses before the schools would see any of it.
Parkway, you get $2. Rockwood, here's your $5. Spend it wisely.
I just think people, if you're voting for it just because you think it's going to benefit the schools, that's something you need to understand. If you like sports betting, go ahead and vote for it. But if you're only voting because that blonde-headed woman told you all the money's going to schools, that's a lie. It's just not truthful, and shame on them for being so deceitful with their ad campaigns. I don't know why they feel like they need to lie about it. They just need to be honest about that.
Well, for the same reason they're lying about Amendment 3 and why they have a pretty blonde and her husband, I assume, who are sitting on the couch with their little sob story about why somehow abortion is beneficial for them and the children. Give me a break. I can't.
She suggests that you can't get a DNC currently.
Lies.
And that's a lie. Lie.
I'm sick of people saying that. Don't listen to that garbage.
We will talk more about all those issues this week. I'll have the voter guide out soon, hopefully before the end of the week. So quickly, let's get to a break. Carl, we have a guest coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us here. We got our friends Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw in here from the Retirement Advisory Group. Swung by to say hi. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us, Mark.
Yeah, great having you in here. We have another Protecting Your Retirement educational event coming up October 1st. It's always on a Tuesday out at the Frontenac Hilton.
And this is the last event of the year.
Yeah.
Last event of the year.
And a key to get out there before the election, right?
Absolutely, folks. Absolutely. I've got some little points I'd like to talk or hit on that we're going to talk about at this event that people need to know coming with this coming election. This is from billionaire hedge fund manager John Paulson. He manages billions of dollars in a hedge fund. He has threatened to remove all the money from the U.S. markets if Vice President Kamala Harris wins.
Wow.
He basically says, if Harris is elected, I will pull all the money from the markets because I think the uncertainty regarding the plans they outline will create a lot of uncertainty in the markets and they will crash. Elon Musk, and this was on Fox, the world's richest man responded to Paulson's promise by tweeting legendary investor Warren Buffett was preparing for the same outcome. Buffett has now increased his cash reserves to $277 billion because of this market coming up if Kamala Harris wins. Paulson cited the policy Harris campaign laid out would focus on more centralized price controls and new government spending programs were behind his fears. Economists has estimated the plans to cost over $10 trillion. You think we have inflation now, folks? It's going to get worse. If they do implement a 25% tax on unrealized gains, this would cause mass selling of everything, stocks, bonds, homes, and even art. I think it will cause a crash in the markets worse than that of 1929 and create a major recession, if not depression.
Boy, I hope people are listening.
Now, one last thing. This is from Mark Cuban, and then I'm done, folks. He's a Democrat. Mark Cuban says, Cuban has said that it is a terrible proposal with Kamala Harris, and it will force investors to sell all their stocks and assets in order to pay their taxes, which will eventually lead to the biggest crash since 1929.
Yeah.
The Dallas Mavericks owner has also warned that this will prevent entrepreneurs to make their companies go public to avoid the complications arising from taxes.
And that's from the taxing of unrealized
gains,
right? Yeah.
On homes, your stocks, your 401ks, everything. So, folks, don't miss this event.
Yeah, folks, if you're worried about your life savings, which I'm sure we all are right now, that's you don't want want to miss this. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. We're going to educate you on how you can protect your life savings so you never have to lose a penny. We're proud to say in 38 years, we've never lost a penny of our clients' money, and we won't lose a penny of yours either.
Yeah, everybody's nervous about it. I'm sure you're probably fielding phone calls just out of the blue.
Everybody.
From people thinking, right, it's election time.
But
what
our clients, they're not worried. They know their money's safe, and they're not going to lose anything. Yeah. So that's the good news. So, folks, call the number 314-993-9494 or go online.
Yeah, you could go online to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com.
Sign up. We're really booking up. This is the last event of the year.
This is going to be a big one. We're already filling up, and we're still a week away.
Yeah. We pack it. I'm telling you, full of 97.1 fans who show up. And
well,
I'll be there. Annie will be there. Mark Reardon will be there just to say hi to folks and shake hands. Everybody wants to talk about the news of the day. Like, there's not a lot going on right now, is there?
No. Election has everybody worried. And, folks, I mean, unfortunately, you should be worried. This is what you've worked your whole lives for.
Without us getting into politics, we're not trying to get into politics, but politics affects the stock market and their policies. And their policies with the Kamala Harris and the Democrats, it's going to destroy our country. It will, financially,
markets. That's why you can't sit there and say, well, I don't care about politics. I don't get involved, and that's why I don't vote. Well, guess what? That affects every single facet of your
life. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but this is what's going to happen. Of all these economists and billionaires saying this is what's going to happen, folks, prepare yourself. Don't miss this event.
Price gauging will be awful, apparently, according to Kamala Harris.
That will destroy capitalism. That's communism.
What she called it, price gauging.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's confusing. All right. Well, we're going to see you on the first out of the Frightening Act Hilton at 6:30. I'll be there along with Thomas and Bob, and we'll have a great time. Thank you, guys.
Again, 314-993-9494. Go online at retirementkey.com.
Outstanding. All right. Brian Kilmeade coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.